second, everyone. We are, always at the mercy of logistics, and so we're still waiting for the actual offer document to get printed. My understanding is it's literally in the printer right now. So hopefully in a few minutes, I know the number of members, the Senate in particular, needs to get off. Back to the floor. Both the chair and I have bills up on the floor today, so this will be very quick, but we will certainly be back and do a much more careful walking through and sharing, and including making sure that the document is available publicly. So I'll wait, Mr. Chair, at least a couple of minutes to see if this can show up, and then I'll bring us together. Members, the Conference Committee for Public Safety and Judiciary with the Senate and House will come to order. And members, we're going to recess like right away. I want to apologize to you and the public. We had logistical issues in terms of just trying to get the offer, the House offer, printed. And just a few seconds ago, we got a print, and it's got a major thing missing in it. So, it's been a lot of work, and sometimes that's certainly going to happen. I was up for a good chunk of the night, a good chunk of early this morning, as were staff. So my apologies to everyone. I've spoken with the chair here. Here's what we'll do. I wanted to make sure we formally convene. We will come back at a time that the chair and I, find convenient. We both have bills up on the floor of the House today and some other important meetings. What we will do is we will share this document with the public as soon as possible. We will make sure that all conference committee members get that document, and then we'll come back together. Okay. Then we'll come back together and then do a very careful walk through it. I'll save my opening comments for when we do that, and so I would ask members to do the same, so that we're referring to something that's in front of us. So, Chair Limmer.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for that announcement. Technology things do happen, and so we'll be waiting. We'll be watching our emails for a copy of it, and I'm sure you'll put it publicly out on the web so our citizens can see it as well. So we're being called into the Senate caucus right now, and so busy day.
Yes, indeed. We will get this out publicly ASAP, and we'll get it to our conference committee members. So members, until call the chair, we'll stand in recess. Back from recess. Chair will call us back in recess from earlier for the Minnesota House and Senate Conference Committee on Public Safety and Judiciary. Members, I do not expect the majority party to be here today, which is quite unfortunate. But I do think it is important because I did promise the public that I would do a quick walkthrough of the provisions before us, so that publicly people understand what we've had on the table. And so I'm going to do that. And then we'll recess and see what happens from there. Members, the House came in with a pretty big, powerful investments bill on public safety and corrections. I frankly do not apologize for insisting that public safety is a critically important function that requires critically commensurately important investments. Particularly in this day and age right now, where there's a lot of heightened concern about public safety in our state. Many citizens have contacted us, in particular around certain crimes that they feel have trended upwards, particularly crimes of violence with guns, and carjackings, and a few others. And because of that, the House certainly felt it was important to have a big, bold, and strong bill. We also understood that as we meet the other body, the Senate, that we would need to accommodate one another in order to get something done. and felt that the Senate had some really important things to speak to on this issue. And so, nevertheless, however, having a much bigger bill, it was really a lot of work, a lot of tough work. I'm talking, we were here pretty late into the night and early morning and got up pretty early this morning and stressed my staff out, you know, to continue to work on putting together the offer that I'm going to walk through quickly here with you all. Again, you know, doing so because it's important and because it is big, because the House bill was big, really required addressing a lot of issues, which quite frankly, eventually logistically slowed us down today. This is not game playing on my part or on the House's part. It really is about trying to get it right, understanding that having lost some time last week when we didn't meet, it was really important that we not just throw things up against the wall, but that we try to get this right. So there was certainly was a lot of crossing T's and dotting I's that really delayed printed offer you have before you. The House has repeatedly tried the time-tested way in which negotiations, in my opinion, conventionally ought to be done, which is parties come together, they focus on those things where there's common ground, and you get to agreement on that. You now establish a platform and a culture and a psychology, if you will, to then have the strength to get through the much more difficult issues to get to yes. The offer before before us, before the Senate, from the House, makes many substantive movement, much substantive movement towards the Senate. That's a critically important element of any negotiations, to show movement toward the person you're engaging with. It recedes from several provisions from the Senate, from the House. And that's also another part where you're willing to give, you know, important things up. It gives, frankly, the Senate a strong ability to respond and tell us, the House, what they wish to pursue, which then obviously then later empowers us to address the final decisions that are not on the table here before us. So all that by way of saying that this is not a quote-unquote global offer. We understand that the Senate has insisted that there be a global offer. This is how negotiations should be done. It is a major, big offer with lots of provisions of importance to the people of Minnesota, which then sets us up to do the final pieces in order to get a final bill. The offer actually shows how much common ground really exists. It's perplexing to me that we would not have everyone in the room here right now to talk about the common ground that exists between the two bodies and between a number of interests. So with that, members, let me just, and to the public, do what I promised, which is to just do the highlights and walk through the provisions here. First of all, as I mentioned, the House recedes from positions in its bill. There are eight provisions that the House is walking, receding from. The House also offers provisions that both bodies share, some pretty substantive provisions, the most substantive of which is the county corrections provisions, where we propose to adopt the Senate funding position with several changes. Members, we know that at one point all the partners had agreed to this distribution in their formula, and that the agreements were based on having the JRI formulas. I think it's really important that we acknowledge that that's true. What this does is it accepts the Senate distribution and so really reflects the wishes that we've heard articulated by the Senate chair. It drops the formula, which is what we heard the Senate chair express, but keeps a number of important policy changes, which were critically important to the House and critically important to the central reason why there was a months-long exploration, discussions, engagements with all our counties and with the Department of Corrections. So really a big move toward the Senate, a big move. This is a substantive chunk of the appropriation in this bill. And doing so while maintaining the call for policy change. There's also prosecutor, on a smaller scale, there's a prosecutor training funding where we adopt the Senate decision. The House also offers uncontroversial agency provisions. There are six of those provisions in the bill. The House also offers the following uncontroversial provisions, and there are four provisions that fall into the category of addressing issues of vulnerable adult abusers and support for vulnerable people of color. And under that heading, a number of provisions, Senate and House, including strengthening our labor trafficking laws and establishing the Office of Missing and Murdered Black Women, the Senate provision for abuse of a vulnerable adult crime. It also involves articles having to do with small items like law enforcement agencies to retain any recordings, which are Senate provisions, the admission interlock device program, which is a Senate provision, technical corrections to fourth degree assault. Okay. And then retaliation against a peace officer who intercedes and doxing, expansion of the doxing statute, all Senate provisions, along with, therefore, in essentially exchange and pairing, the oversight of the Fusion Center, which was work that Senator Matthews in particular has expressed interest in, free calls from jails for mental health, the Leech Lake law enforcement change, and the extension of the existing task force on felony murder, along with several others. There are uncontroversial bill articles where we match up the Senate's driving while impaired search warrant changes with the House combining the Interstate Advisory Council for Adult Offender Supervision and for Juveniles. In the DPS, Department of Public Safety, there's a addressing and accepting of the Senate Air Patrol recommendation expanded statewide and required reporting, and the Senate Interstate Adult Offender Transfer Transportation Expenses that our sheriffs have said is important to them, along with the House with the House provision of supporting the Department of Corrections data management systems, statewide sharing infrastructure and data collection, as well as the Department of Corrections request for body cameras. Right. Yeah. And so those are all, we thought, vital and equal trades, trades between all of those provisions. The House also offers the following trades on what might be considered more controversial, but we thought we could reach agreement on. There's one category under first responder related provisions where we propose to take the Senate Local Government Emergency Management to pair up with the House first responder body armor provision. Under mental health, first responder mental health, a good pairing of the Senate first responders mental health with the House's first responder wellness office. With the Minnesota sentencing guidelines, the Senate had proposed a sentencing guidelines appointment process that would have required a Senate confirmation process. The House, frankly, will not accept that. However, listening carefully, we did hear concern from the Senate that there should be a check and balance in terms of the governor's rightful authority granted by state statute to make those appointments. So what we're proposing is that those be staggered appointments, which would then allow for the reality of different governors being able to make appointments that are reflected in a current sentencing guidelines commission. So trying to listen carefully to what the concern was in terms of the Senate expressing concern with checking a power of the executive branch. Then also accepting the recording of meetings that the Senate called for, we would then pair that with the House Task Force on Collecting Data on County Attorneys. We had quite a long conversation in conference committee about discretion among our prosecutor class, and the thought was that we would, as opposed to predispose and limit what kind of information would be gathered, that we would instead create a database system, and so there's a task force that would design that. Did I skip that?
No, the next page.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't think I'd gotten there yet. All right. The way it's printed on the sheet. So then there's a strong interest in both bodies, especially of importance to House around youth support and youth funding. And so we worked awfully hard to match up provisions in the Senate, in the House, to make that happen. The Senate, of course, has the YIPA $5 million investment. We proposed to accept that. However, to do that, along with a smaller Senate request for grants for racially diverse youth in Rochester and St. Cloud, to match that up with the Representative Feist, Senator Bobby Joel Champion, work of developing having developed a framework for investing in prevention, intervention, and mental health grants, and to advance the wellness of our justice system where youth are involved. There's also on victim funding. The Senate has a strong interest in the suicide benefit. We're saying that we would accept that, along with the House Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Intervention funding, as well as House increased funding for sex trafficking. Under drug penalties for drug reform, there was quite a bit of conversation about fentanyl. It's a very emotional but also important issue to address. Frankly, the House struggles with the idea that we should be creating harsher felony level penalties for folks who are merely in possession, often probably not even knowing that they're in possession of this dangerous substance, and who basically were not interested in further criminalizing the addiction status of individuals. Nevertheless, as we struggled with that, again, in the spirit of moving toward one another, we offered to accept language and an amendment to an amendment that the House debated on the floor that did pass in the House before the underlying amendment was withdrawn, which focuses on first-degree sale of the substance. But then to match that up, if we're going to be adding new high-level felony penalties with loosening up the over-criminalization of marijuana, which is found in this, for small amounts, which is found in the House bill, as well as the creation of a controlled substance abuse task force to provide the legislature with a up-to-date set of recommendations for handling these kind of substance issues and the framework within which we've addressed them over time. Also providing access to medical marijuana. There's a criminal penalties for criminal justice reform section where we offer to accept the Senate's organized retail theft provision. I believe that was a Chair Limmer provision, as well as a carjacking without increased penalties with an attached amendment in exchange and also a Senate provision on reporting of carjackings paired up with the House Clean Slate Act, which is an automatic expungement framework focused on misdemeanors with some important carve-outs for misdemeanors that are rightly considered to be very harmful, like in the domestic abuse area. Under criminal apprehension and sentencing for criminal rehabilitation, even though we didn't hear this provision, we propose to accept the oral fluid pilot project for driving offenses from the Senate, as well as the language of condition for probation for child pornography, as well as the Senate School Safety Center and the Senate Identity Theft Crime Provisions. Those are four provisions paired up with three House provisions, pathways to employment, including pathways to employment and House, the House Family Connections provisions the Department of Corrections brought us. The balance we're looking for here is as we're strengthening the work needed to make sure that, rather, the idea here is to match up where both the Senate and the House are looking to do a better job of rehabilitation work for those who have done wrong and have caused harm. And so we recognize that both bodies have those elements in the bill. And then finally, there's a Violent Crime Reduction Support Initiative funding, which the Department of Public Safety brought forward. The Senate originally did not have this provision, but then moved toward it in its offer of yesterday. Strongly funds the BCA Violent Crime Reduction Support Initiative. We pair that with the House Attorney General funding provision. And then there's House Writer language along with that. We pair that with the House proposal for the Attorney General's request for funding to better arm under-resourced county attorneys across the state, primarily in many of our greater Minnesota communities. To close, the House concurs with the Senate on standalone bills to travel separately with the Private Detective Board's bill, House File 3955, Senate File 3749. And then we also suggest to move as a standalone the Pinto Limmer Classifying Sentencing Guidelines Commission staff. Those apparently are slotted to be heard in both bodies sometime soon. We acknowledge that the Senate has already agreed to qualify domestic violence-related offenses that the House is carrying, as well as the surreptitious intrusion provision, which nonpartisan staff is drafting language with cooperation between the House and the Senate. So members and the public, it's a lot, but that is the point. It needs to be a lot. It doesn't need to be a global offer, which means everything is on the table. It means that you start with those things and you really push the boundaries as much as you can for where there is common desire expressed by both bodies to move forward, get those agreements out of the way, and then move into the final provisions of the bill. The Senate Majority Leader publicly said the other day that legislators working in conference committee should be focused on those areas of agreement and leave those disagreement areas for a little bit later. That is wise advice. It is conventionally good practice in how you get to agreement. We believe that by matching this with the Senate proposals that we articulate in this offer that were brought forward the day before, that we've laid out a roadmap to get to, eventually to get to everything, and obviously to get to yes. So members, again, I wanted to make sure we took the time to lay that out before us, regardless of who is in the room, because it's critically important for the public to understand what the House is looking to address. It's a lot, and it's awfully important. And on the upbeat, I suppose, it frankly really shows just how much in common these two bodies have if we're willing to get to agreement. And with that, I'll stop, and I note that Representative Frazier wants to say something, and I think Representative Chair Becker-Finn. Representative
Boland,
Representative Frazier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, Mr. Chair, I'd just like to say thank you for the work that you put into bringing this offer. And I know it was a lot of work because I was there by your side while we were working on it. With that said, what we did and what we put together in this offer was it's complex. Public safety and protecting all Minnesotans, it is a complex issue, and we are bringing complex solutions to those issues. I don't want to disparage anyone, but when you have simple solutions, you don't have to put in as much time, you can come to a quicker offer when you have simple solutions. We have a complex solution for complex problems, and I think Minnesotans understand that we have complex issues in our state. And there are complex issues around the country, which is what we're also dealing and seeing here in Minnesota. And that is what our offer addresses. Now, it's not a global offer, but there is nothing that requires it to be a global offer. What I believe is happening here, and unfortunately, with all due respect to Senator Limmer, you're creating a false narrative that you need a global offer in order to move forward with negotiations. Other conference committees are moving forward back and forth with offers, not global offers, piece by piece on things that they agree upon. There is no reason that we can't do this here, and particularly when this has been identified as a priority area for my Senate colleagues. They've identified as a priority area public safety, community safety, but they are refusing to engage in a good faith conversation on how to come up with complex solutions for a complex problem. Our offer shows great movement toward the Senate. Their offer did not show great movement toward the House. Their offer simply showed the ability to come within the targeted amount of resources that we have to spend as provided by leadership. We had to put in great work to bring our bill within those numbers, and we put the work in, and we're providing an offer, and I would appreciate in good faith engagement from my Senate colleagues to actually get this done. And let's say, I often say that public safety should not be politicized, and I do feel like that is what's happening here. The longer we stall, the longer we wait, the more politicized it becomes, and this is not helping Minnesotans. We are elected to do what's best for Minnesotans and keep Minnesotans safe, and we should do that. So I am asking Senator Limmer and the rest of my Senate colleagues to come to the table, engage in this discussion, negotiate, and let's get this done. We're running out of time. Let's get it done. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Frazier. Chair Beckerfing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm going to speak with, as the House Judiciary Finance and Civil Law Chair, and I know that the Senate would prefer what they're referring to as a global offer. In the spirit of creative word choice that we're using in this legislative session, they're not budget targets. Whatever we're calling those numbers, I think of it as we have the judiciary and civil law universe, and we've got the public safety and criminal justice reform universe. And the judiciary and civil law universe, we put forward a full offer, including the spreadsheet, over 31 hours ago, was emailed to the Senate chair at 8:21 a.m. yesterday, and my phone is fully charged, and at any point that the Senate would like to meet either in person or on the phone to work on that universe, that's before us. I think we've all agreed since day one. I think that the judiciary half of the bill is, we started out much closer together, and if we need to start with the easier stuff, I think that's where we start. Just remain open and willing to do the work. That's what we were sent here to do. So just wanted to get that on the record that we have still not received a response to the judiciary universe of this conference committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Beckerfin. That is indeed unfortunate that this is, judiciary is an area where there's just such amazing overlap, and there really is no reason why we can't just simply get to a compromised yes on that and then put that on the table while we wait for the rest of the bill then to get to. Thank you for your work and your effort to meet the Senate at a hopefully a good place, your desired good place in order to do important work to keep our constitutionally required systems operating well in our state. Thank you. Representative Mullen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted, for the record, to mention a couple things that I think weren't on this, because I know staff worked really hard to put this together, and sometimes those things happen.
Yes.
I would note on the back page for the Senate has already agreed to the GPS tracking was something that we all did agree to already. Just don't want to forget that we did have that agreement. And then the other thing was the funding of the sexual assault forensic examination shifting from the counties where it's currently billed to the state. I believe that's Senator Bigham's bill, and we worked on some amended language with DPS that I think we'll be able to reach an agreement on in the end, and I don't think it was intentionally left off of this the offer. I think the intent was to include that as well.
Well, very well. Thank you, Representative Mueller. And obviously, those issues still remain, I would say before us. We're not, we haven't issued a concession on those. We have articulated where we've receded from and also where we've conceded to date. Very well. Senator Bigham.
Thank you, Chair Mariani. I like a lot of this. I like it.
My question has to do with the county corrections provisions of it. If it's possible, and maybe this is more of a discussion, and feel free to say we haven't fine-tuned that or we haven't filed that down yet, but I can't quite figure out if that, it doesn't appear to be a temporary formula, but working towards a permanent formula amongst the stakeholders. So is this just where there's an allocation of the money of the Senate amount, but with no formula until the stakeholders come back with one, I would assume next year, is your hope? Is that, I mean, I'm just trying to wrap my head around the offer.
Senator Bingham, we try to listen very carefully to, you know, where the Senate chair was. In my opinion, it's unfortunate that there's been a hard line drawn on the issue of the recommendations that the counties brought before us. At the same time, you can see this when the counties came to testify. You know, they were struggling with, yeah, but, you know, we really need these resources. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, an acceptance and a compromise means you don't get everything you want.
Right.
But you do no harm, and you always, I think, do no harm. You try to keep things moving forward. The proposal does have the policy elements that the House identifies, so things like the elimination of fees, which, you know, with millions of new dollars being forwarded, seems like an appropriate thing to do. There's some other reasons why that should not be done, but that's my opinion. And so, yeah, it, to some degree, it's sort of like, you know, how do we keep a strongly supported community corrections system? Every year that we don't do that just, you know, makes it harder for them to do their work, at the same time that we're fully expecting that there be a modernization of practices, which we think they want to do. Based on, you know, best practices and objective, you know, good data and research and experience. So it's a call, you know. I mean, for me, it's a call that says, okay, well then, you know, let's find a way to keep moving forward and not just, you know, say no to the counties, just not say no to a bill, trying to meet, you know, where Senator Limmer apparently is at. It's too bad he's not here to speak to that issue. You know, frankly, I don't know why you don't show up to a room where someone's willing to meet you somewhere. That's a new one on me.
Mr. Chair, as the conversations just go forward, I'm going to offer again and be more than willing to help help with this. I just am very passionate not only about the unified billing for rape kits, but making sure that we end this session not only with the money, but with some sort of temporary formula that allocates this money better than the current one. And so, I just think the way this is. Thank you. I think the way this is broken down doesn't get to that. And I'm not faulting the House. I'm just pointing out maybe the obvious. But this doesn't have anything with the determination of the severity related, you know, weighing that case or the case loads, any of that. And that's concerning. And the other point I'll make is talking to some of my former colleagues that are in the counties now. A lot of them are getting frustrated with, not getting the funding, but also I'm worried that, you know, they get to choose the discipline. And if we're not careful, the commissioner might have a bunch of counties that will now be opting for the DOC with no money. So I'm encouraging folks to come back with the single formula that's temporary, because there's just been a lot of great work done by a lot of stakeholders. And I know you recognize that in your bill. Mm-hmm. But I just don't feel like we should like rip that away in a way. And so I just hope we can continue on that path. And as this continues to get discussed, I'm more than willing to meet with you and Chair Limmer, leadership, whoever, just to kind of help if I can. There's one thing I can be of assistance with. This might be it on there. So would appreciate kind of being kept in the loop on that and working on it. I know it's not an easy task, and appreciate all your work, Mr. Chair, and Chair Becker Finn, and all the members of the conferees and the staff. I know they were up late, and know that we appreciate that and their efforts too.
Thank you, Senator Bingham. I appreciate the genuine spirit of collegial work on this. I know it's also passionately important to you. And again, you know, this is the outcome of, you know, when one makes major concessions. That's part of, you know, getting two agreements, you know, that, you know, there'll be, you know, it is to compromise. And it was our call that, you know, it's real, at least up to now, let's at least put forward the Senate, you know, dominant theme, you know, approach with policy reform. The way this should work then is that you would be having that conversation with your colleague in the Senate, and the Senate would then conceivably come back with a moderation or moderated response or a counteroffer, if you will, you know, relative to that particular provision. That's better than just continuing to talk at each other, which is not what we wanted to do. We've already done that. That's important to do. Now it's important to turn our talk into action. And so that's, you know, you know, that's what you do with counteroffers. Again, tough to do counteroffers and to build things when you're not in the room. To do that, and tragic when you self-select to not be in the room. We'll have to find out from the senator, you know, what the rationale is behind that. Members, anything else? Senator Lentz.
Mr. Chairman, I'll just reiterate my willingness to continue to serve in a role that's productive in communicating both with the House conferees and with the other Senate conferees, if I can be of any assistance.
Thank you, Senator. I tried to hit response late last night to an important issue that you had raised on, I think it was on fleeing. You had some analysis of that. Not sure if my response got to you or not. But if it didn't, I just want to say thank you for, you know, providing some good objective professional analysis of, you know, the complexity of that issue.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, to that point, and I've already shared this with Representative Moeller, I'm still working on it. I have a hard time letting go of something that I'm a problem I'm trying to solve if I haven't solved it yet. So I think I may have found a way to do that, but I've got to touch base with people to see if it'll work for everyone.
Bulldog Ron, I think we found a new acronym for you. All right, members. So with that, you know, we'll close. It's 5:20. 4:20. Oh, you know what? That's the thing about the clock in this room. Yeah, that's right.
It's the house time. This is the Senate.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard that. Yeah, I will. I've heard that joke, and I've been trying to find an opportunity to use it. You don't fix the clock. There you go. I just got an email of a press conference that, you know, the Senator Limmer decided to have. It really ill-advised. We're speaking to the public right here, right now, and, you know, time to speak during conference committee to the public is in the conference committee itself. And so, you know, I was hoping that that opportunity would have been availed of. I decided in this joint common hearing, but apparently, unfortunately, you know, the choice is to do press releases. So we're not going to build a bill that way. We're going to build a bill by having that tough conversation that Senator Bingham just spoke about, you know, and trying to find a good common ground between us. The offer before us is a very serious and genuine attempt to find a common ground. I can tell you there are a number of important stakeholders and constituents are probably not really happy with some of the provisions I put forward, and I value greatly you know, the work of those constituencies. It's just the nature of us being able to meet one another. That's really my only goal and intention here. So with that, members, I won't adjourn because, you know, hope springs eternal, and I'll move to recess us, and hopefully we'll be back in this room sometime later today to get back in sync and continue our work with one another. I hope it's not the last time that we're in the same room in this conference committee. So, members, until the call of the chair of this conference committee, stands in recess.